panel. I'm excited you're joining me. Welcome. I am Brianne Martineau. We're excited that you're here today. A lot going on all around the world. We're going to give you the very latest regarding the government shutdown. There's a lot going on over there with the FDA. In the second hour, we'll discuss that. Plus, there's a lot happening with food stamps. I can't believe it. Senator Josh Hawley is like advocating for all 42 million people to be brought back onto the food stamp program. You've been given this great opportunity and you allege that you're a conservative. So why not take it up? Why not sit here and get rid of the people who are leeches to the system and you don't actually need it? I want to keep emphasizing that there are people out there who don't need it. There are people who are disabled who need it. Absolutely. We should help them completely, especially if they're Americans, by the way, only Americans. I feel like I have to issue that disclaimer. But folks, it's just so infuriating. 42 million people in this country do not need food stamps. They don't. You don't. I've worked multiple jobs, two jobs, three jobs, six, 7 days a week. You could literally work remote for at least $30 an hour anywhere in the country. There are so many customer service jobs to do just that. So again, I don't understand why we want to, as conservatives allegedly, put back 42 million people onto the food stamp program. You now have a perfect opportunity to trim some of the fat, to pull in some of those charities and make sure that they're doing their job and helping these families out. Let them do what they're supposed to be doing. It's that simple. You know, we are the greatest, most generous country in the world. But man, oh man, did we really drop the ball on so much? And right now is the perfect opportunity to purge those who are leeching onto our system, who do not need these services because they are capable of working. They've just decided not to. And we played the video for you last week. Remember all the videos of all those people on TikTok who were, oh, my mom had food stamps. Now I have food stamps and I'm too afraid to work because if I work, I might lose my food stamps. Matt, I want to turn to you because I know this gets me fired up, but how do you feel about this?
Pretty interesting numbers here. I was actually looking for how many SNAP participants are senior citizens or people who are, you know, probably not going to be entering the workforce for a multitude of reasons. And it looks like 7.8 million adults rely on SNAP. Mm-hmm. And what that is about 42% of eligible seniors participate in the program, which is compared to 83% of all eligible people.
Interesting. I mean, that I'm fine with. That doesn't really bother me as much because I think people have worked their whole lives and paid into the system if they have, you know.
And so what I'm getting at, yeah, is, you know, he could be going for, you know, a lot of those people. He could be looking at his constituents. You know, you look at his voting base, they are older people, right? A lot of people in the Midwest, right? He's got an aging constituency that does rely on that.
Yeah, but he keeps saying 42 million. So I think when he says 42 million, because he says it in the soundbite we played earlier in the show, I think he's just kind of like, I agree with you. Yeah, it's probably his constituents. And if it's the elderly, then yeah, I understand that. But the 42 million to me is kind of strange because it's not 42 million elderly individuals. Like you said, it's 7.8 million.
Yeah.
Are elderly that I support. Because how many of these people, you know, were used to relying on two spouse income or at least their spouse maybe have been the provider and then they passed away? That I'm totally fine with. We should help those people out. We should help those Americans out. But he said 42 million, which is kind of strange. It just doesn't sound like a conservative take to me. Now would be a good time to get rid of those people we played for you last week who are fully capable, obviously eating good. And
I did also want to just make one more clarification. Sorry to butt in.
Yeah, no,
but these numbers, although this is current as of 2025, these numbers reflect the year 2023, fiscal year 2023.
Got
that's,
it.
That's the most recent they can do.
Yes. That's Matt, guys. The voice behind the voice. I love when we get the control room shot in. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me, honestly, if it was just the elderly. But I mean, he keeps saying 42 million people need food stamps. No, they don't. 7.8 million? Yeah, I'd be on board with that. Folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. In the meantime, make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, the second hour of the program. Trevor Loudens will be joining me in a bit, in about like 25 minutes. We have a lot to discuss with him in regards to the communist takeover happening right now in this country. We see it in New York City. If you think just New York, I hate to tell you, it's not just New York. It's happening everywhere. There is a socialism movement, that's what they call it, so it sounds a little bit nicer. But the reality of it is they're communists, and they are spreading their wings across this country. Georgia is next on their list, and Loudon will join us in a bit to discuss just that. I wanted to talk a little bit about the job cuts going on right now and the FAA, because they're doing a travel reduction as well, which is very, very important that we dive into that topic. But I want to talk about job cuts. Job cuts for the October totaled a little over 153,000, which is 183% surge from September. That's obviously very, very important, and 175% higher than the same month a year ago. Now, obviously, that was the government shutdown, probably very, very much likely causing that. It was the highest level for any October since 2003. It has been the worst year for layoffs since 2009. Companies in tech sector announced over 33,000 cuts. And again, I mean, a lot of these companies have contracts with the federal governments, so it's very likely that that is also related. I want to turn to the FAA. I actually want to talk about this. This is important. The Federal Aviation Administration said Wednesday that it was taking extraordinary steps to reduce air traffic by 10% across 40 high-volume markets beginning Friday morning to maintain travel safety as air traffic control exhibits signs of strain during the ongoing government shutdown. The cutbacks stands to impact thousands of flights nationwide because the FAA directs more than 44,000 flights a day. And obviously that includes commercial flights, that includes cargo planes and private aircrafts. Now, again, we don't know what caused that accident we saw earlier this week in Kentucky. We will keep our eyes, though, obviously, but according to people I've spoken to, although they haven't made it official, I believe as of yet, that was a mechanical related issue. I also want to talk about this. The USDA revises SNAP reduction plan to provide more part benefits in November. Now, again, folks, this is the U.S. Department of Agriculture issuing revised guidance to states on Wednesday evening. Now, that will result in food stamp enrollees receiving somewhat larger benefits in November. Huh. The update disclosed in new court filings for the reducing the maximum supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits by 35% instead of the original 50%. So again, folks, it looks like there's still going to be benefits going out. The agency is issuing, obviously, the partial benefits this month to comply with a court order requiring that the SNAP program funding still go on. I mean, again, this doesn't make any sense. I guess it does make sense. They somehow, some way did have the funding to do just that. It's just, which is a long ongoing issue that we have. Now, also, I wanted to bring you the FAA specifics on it. We have clip 17 that I wanted to play for you. It details exactly what these reductions mean. So let's just take a listen to that.
And so for air traffic controllers, they received a partial payment in early October. The second payment, they got a big fat zero, no paycheck at all. Tomorrow, they get a pay stub email on what their next paycheck is going to be. And when that pay stub comes out, that is also going to be zero. So they will have gone a month without any pay. And what we're finding is that our air traffic controllers, because of the financial pressures at home, are taking side jobs. They need to put food on the table, gas in the car, pay their bills. By the way, I do not want them to take side jobs. I want them to show up for work. We have asked them to show up for work, but I'm not naive to understand that they're trying to figure out how they meet their daily obligations. And so because of that, we have seen staffing pressures throughout our airspace. Those who travel will see that we've had more delays. We've had more cancellations. And so we're going to talk about additional measures that we are going to take that's going to reduce the risk profile in the national airspace. And I'm going to turn it over to the administrator to do that. As he walks through what that plan is going to look like, I anticipate there'll be additional disruptions. There'll be frustration. We are working with the airlines. They're going to work with passengers. But in the end, our sole role is to make sure that we keep this airspace as safe as possible. The administrator is going to talk about all of the tools we're going to deploy. One of them, though, is going to be that there is going to be a 10% reduction in capacity at 40 of our locations. The administrator is going to tell you that this is data-based. This is not based on what airline travels, has more flights out of what location. This is about where is the pressure and how do we alleviate the pressure.
Again, as the secretary said, we've identified 40 high-traffic environment markets. We'll be happy to share that later. We have decided that a 10% reduction in scheduled capacity would be appropriate to, again, continue to take the pressure off of our controllers. And as we continue to see staffing triggers, there will be additional measures that will be taken in those specific markets. Again, I think it's a holistic plan. I really appreciate the men and women at the FAA who have been working this situation from the get-go. I want to applaud the controllers who continue to come to work on a daily basis, keeping our system safe. But I also want to recognize the fact that the data is telling us we need to do more, and we are going to do more. And I want to reassure the American travelers that it is absolutely safe to fly in the American skies.
They're claiming it's absolutely safe to fly in the American skies. There are 40 airports that could be impacted by all of this. I'm just going to kind of skim through it without reading all 40 of them. Dallas Love, Ronald Reagan, obviously Washington, Denver, Dallas Airport, Fort Lauderdale. I mean, it's pretty much every major airport. JFK, LaGuardia, Orlando, Chicago, Midway, Memphis, Miami, and Chicago, San Diego, Louisville, Tampa. So pretty much all of the major airports could be impacted. No surprise there, of course. No surprise there, of course. So keep your eye open. If you're traveling anytime soon, don't do it. That's in my unprofessional opinion at this point. It's an absolute nightmare. I traveled on Sunday. I was flying out here with Southwest, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. So tread lightly. And I looked at the screen. It was all Southwest flights, too. And American was good, though. I flew American, and I had a good experience there. But this is probably going to affect everyone across any airline. So, you know, tread lightly. All right. We could talk about an individual in France who decided to plow his vehicle, sadly, into a group of people. A 35-year-old man who the media now is claiming, and authorities are claiming, is a French national, apparently used his car to injure 10 individuals, four of whom remain in critical condition. Now, the suspect apparently shouted Allah Akbar during his arrest and attempting to ignite his car and set it on fire. French authorities do not believe, though, that this is a incident of terrorism. I don't know what we have to do for people to understand that you are a terrorist. Police received reports of several collisions around 8:45 a.m. their time. apparently was alone in a Honda Civic. Nearly 50 firefighters responded to aid the victims, according to them. Gas cylinders were located in the vehicle. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They won't give you the name. They won't show you the photo of the person who has been arrested for this. They just tell you he's a French national. What does that mean? Could mean that his family came to France. Last generation, he's now first generation. I mean, they just don't tell you these things. So anyway, we know that's intentional. We know it's meant to deceive the American people too, because we do it here in this country. They do it throughout Europe. They don't care. They don't want you to know what's actually happening because they want to continue to allow invaders in. So there's that. We could shift gears a little bit. Zohran Mahdani, you could talk about him. Obviously, this is a communist takeover in New York City. We all just kind of have to accept it, I guess, at this point, because no one's going to intervene. We're going to allow him to have access to the NYPD counterterrorism database. He's someone who became a U.S. citizen in 2018. Apparently, you can move to this country being full of hate, get U.S. citizenship in this country, and we just let you run for office. You could use our elections against the American people. You see, time and time again, why do you think Ilhan Omar was able to get in? I couldn't even say that, almost wanting to gag. She obviously hates this country. We allowed her in. Speaks highly of Somalia, the country that she allegedly had to flee because it was just so horrendous, the conditions according her. So she sought refuge here in the United States, but she hates us more than she, I guess, more than she loves her Somalia. Not just her, obviously, this scumbag too. So Chris Cuomo, obviously, he is the brother of Andrew Cuomo, is out here calling out those who didn't support his brother and went with the communist, Zohran Mahdani. Take a listen to clip 7 and how he is confronting those Congress members who endorse Zohran Mahdani. Take a listen.
Socialism is on the agenda in New York City. And it's not just a word, right? It's a destination. You saw that piece in the Free Press, I'm sure, that they have their own playbook to take over your party and make it purely socialistic, and they picked a mascot who fills that bill perfectly in Mamdani. But you're okay with that because you supported him.
I did support him, but look, Chris, there are a lot of things people can call me. The one thing someone can't call me, a guy who represents Silicon Valley with five companies and 50-mile radius of $1 trillion and more, which is literally propping up the entire American economy, is a socialist. I believe in free enterprise. I believe in entrepreneurship. But here's what...
I mean, that's common sense, folks. Why did you back him? Why did you back him? You believe in capitalism. These people are just evil. Evil. They all fall in line, too. When the orders are given, they all fall in line. There's a communist takeover happening right now within the Democratic Party. It's been spewing and brewing there for a couple of years now. And now it's gone full public. Now everyone can see it. It's right in front of your face. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I mean, that's the reality. Right now, we have Zohran Mahdani about to be mayor of New York City, one of the biggest cities in this country, in this world. And obviously, if you're a jihadist, you love this. You love this. Because this is how they intend on taking over the West. If you want to map out how they're taking over the West, take a look at how ignorant voters in New York are. Makes for a great argument for repealing the 19th. When you look at the numbers, women from 18 to 29 or some of his biggest supporters, 84% voted for Zohran Mahdani. Now, when you look at the female side of the male side of all of it, too, it's relatively high, 68%. But these women who are 18 to 29 years old, they are going to be the biggest victims of Zohran Mahdani. Because when the criminals come after them, when they try to do what they always do, fill up a woman on the subway, target them, try to sexually assault them, you're going to call 911 and no one's going to respond. No one's going to respond. But at least you might get free bus rides. No, they're not going to get those either. It was all a lie. It was all a lie. And they're going to learn a very valuable lesson the hard way, but so will the rest of the country. And it's devastating because, again, those that hate this country intentionally brought him into this country for what you just saw unravel. We are dealing with a full takeover. Now, of course, you're Zohran Mahdani. You want to make it seem like you are really supportive of females in the workplace. And so all of his transition team are made up of women, apparently. Now, no word if they're biological women or women who still got drunk. But that's what they're saying right now, that he's got a female transition team. Can I just go off topic a little bit and tell you how much it really sucks to have a female boss? And if you ask any woman, any female that, they'll tell you the same exact thing. So you can only imagine how catty that all female transition team is going to be. I promise, if you have a wife, a daughter who is adult age, ask them, would you rather a male boss or a female boss? And you'd be probably surprised to learn that every single female will pretty much always say male. It's mainly because women are just evil to one another. Sometimes, not all. All right, I'm going to talk about what's happening in Canada, because of course we're talking about there being a lack of follow-up when there's a crime being reported. Well, there's one woman who apparently lives in Canada, and she was robbed at her home when she was sleeping in the same bed as her child. The gunman, she's going to outline what they did to her. But she's alleging that they tried calling for police to come, and they were put on a bit of a hold. Take a listen to clip 15 and the crimes that she alleges were committed against her and her daughter. Take a listen.
Are you surprised that didn't deter them? Like, you did all the security, you had all the safety.
Yeah, but I realized that they don't care about this.
Mariam Alavi Nassab brought her two daughters to Canada from Iran 7 years ago. She bought a home near York Mills and Leslie, which she gutted and redesigned herself. But last Wednesday, her dream home became the scene of a traumatic home invasion, a real-life nightmare she won't soon forget.
I can't live here anymore.
It was 3:40 a.m. when four masked suspects got in through her back patio doors. They went upstairs and into her 12-year-old daughter's bedroom, where Alavi Nassab was asleep next to her child on a mattress on the floor.
I remember that somebody, you know, put the gun on my neck and asked me, where is the safe? Two men came to my daughter's room. It was the scariest moment.
Alavi Nassab says given English is not her first language, she was confused. She eventually understood and told them there was no safe. But not believing her, they took her into her closet, which had already been ransacked. Then down to the main floor and to the garage, looking for a safe. The chaos all captured on video surveillance.
But they couldn't believe me, and they keep hitting me with the gun and, you know, hurt me and, you know, asking me, where is this safe?
After 6 minutes inside, the intruder suddenly left, making off with handbags, jewelry, and money. They did not take the Range Rover, despite the fact Alavi Nassab says she offered them the keys. She then learned her 18-year-old daughter, who had been pretending to sleep, had called 911 while the thieves were downstairs.
She went to her bathroom and locked the door and called 911. But she said that she stays in the line for the... Nobody answered the phone.
For how long?
4 to 5 minutes, or maybe 3 to 4 minutes. I don't remember exactly, but...
She was on hold.
She was on hold. No one picked up the phone.
Alavi Nassab is also upset that no one from police has offered her family support, except for the day of the crime.
I moved here for a better life, for a safe life, and I don't feel safe anymore. And I was thinking that maybe somebody calls me and asks me, do you need anything? Do you have any place to go?
In a statement to Global News, Toronto police say the 911 caller was answered after being in the queue for exactly 2 minutes. Officers were immediately dispatched and arrived 5 minutes later. Police say victim services was offered, and investigators will be following up with the family to ensure they have the support they need. Catherine McDonald, Global News.
Imagine just that. Imagine calling 911 and you're put on a queue. You're put in a queue. A queue! What the heck is going on in Canada? Oh, it was only 2 minutes. Well, a lot could happen in 2 minutes. And in fact, if it takes you 2 minutes to get to a call, chances are you're far, far behind. Now, listen, my heart is with that woman. That is absolutely shocking. And the fact that she's raising children, it sounds like by herself as an Iranian refugee, there's probably a lot more to her backstory. It probably is devastating. But this is what's going on, not only in Canada, but all around the world. Criminals are in power. They know that there is no law and order in several countries, Canada being one of them. They've been invaded. Here in the United States, we're dealing with all the time. But the good thing is if you're someone who isn't a believer in the Second Amendment, you probably feel a little bit safer. Now, again, Canada, you got to wonder, how did those perps get that gun? My heart is with her, obviously. It's devastating, especially to have to endure that with your children. But man, oh man. People, it's another lesson to be learned. Imagine calling 911 and having to wait in a queue. Well, the reality of it is they might actually, during a terrorist attack, take down the 911 call centers all around this country. You cannot rely on law enforcement to save yourselves, your family. You've got to be prepared and ready to go and do just that on your own. Let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson. We could turn gears up a little bit to Spotify, because there seems to be a bit of a controversy given the fact that Spotify is running ads for ICE. The Trump administration is ramping up recruitment, obviously, for ICE. We've reported that on this show. They're looking to conduct mass deportations. However, some groups are pushing back against ICE running ads on Spotify. Move On, which is a George Soros-funded organization, has launched a petition urging Spotify to pull their recruitment ads. These petitions are labeled that the ads are offensive government propaganda. I don't think that's the case. I actually saw an ICE recruitment ad, by the way, on True Social. They're running ads on President Trump's social platform. I don't know if that's good or a bad thing, but they are doing that. Now, again, Spotify is one of the streaming services, and they haven't yet stopped. None of this has influenced them, of course. Now, Spotify and other streaming platforms are letting ICE, according to the group, use the platform that people pay for entertainment and connection as ICE recruitment tactics. The George Soros group, who constantly finds creative ways to funnel their propaganda to the American people, not knowingly. Now they're upset because ICE is running ads, recruitment ads on Spotify. These people are so unhinged. They're so unhinged. Spotify should just keep running the ads. They truly should keep running the ads. All right. Yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw it, but in Minneapolis, the mayor's race, this is a bit good news, a bit of good news. Good news if you, I don't know, if you like don't want a, how do I say this nicely? If you don't want someone who hates this country getting a hold of another office seat. Jacob Frey might actually hate this, the people in this country, but let me stop. He just won his re-election, defeating 14 other candidates, one of them being probably one of the most hideous individuals you've ever landed your eyes on, of course, Omar Fattah. As many of you guys know, he likes to, scary looking face. As many of you guys know, he likes to wave the Somalian flag instead of the American flag at many of his campaign events because, well, why would you show the American flag? Your alliance is to a foreign country. Apparently he's an American, so what is he doing here? Look at that face. It's a little scary. It's a little scary. But again, this is kind of good news. I mean, yes, the mayor of Minneapolis was the one who was taking a knee to George Floyd's coffin and then crying like a hyena. But it's still better than that guy. You know the good news? When I cover press conferences in Minneapolis, I don't have to look at that face. I guess that face. That's a little bit of an upgrade. A little bit of upgrade. Folks, Trevor Loudon's going to be joining us in just a few moments, of course. So don't go anywhere. We also want to remind you all that we're having the early Black Friday Cyber Monday sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over to the shop and snag yourself some of the Alex Jones signature blades. They make great Christmas gifts, of course. And everything is 25% off over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
But let me tell you about this right now. I've been begging for this from our big sponsor at Bigley. They came out with some badass tactical daggers, limited edition, and the trench knives. Those were very popular and sold out. But I said, listen, I don't want to just be t-shirts and supplements, you know, all that great stuff. I want to have the giant selection of every type of knife anybody would want that are high-quality knife brands at reasonable prices. And they've done it. They've got a whole bunch of these amazing knives that have come in. The Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife, quick, flips quick, high-quality stainless steel, composite material, different colors, really an excellent knife. And you would pay this much for this knife or more in stores. And it funds the operation Laser Etch with my little signature, Memento, that you helped fund the operation at the tip of the spear, that you are the tip of the spear. So just so many of these knives. We're really, really proud of these. The Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Blade. Again, it just flicks right out. with your finger, so it's equivalent to like a stiletto or switchblade, but it's technically not one, so it's legal everywhere. The Alex Jones ring blade, and again, they're just calling them the Alex Jones knives. These are, I'm sure, calling these the Patriots or the Spartans or the Strikers or the Defenders, but the point is it does keep us on air. That's a really, really, really cool knife. There's also the Alex Jones quick release blade, and by the way, they're all quick release, but this one's like really quick release, so be careful with the green one, the olive drab one. Really, really proud of these. Discover the Alex Jones signature blade lineup, rugged, reliable folders engineered for real-world demands. Each model combines premium steel, secure locks, and ergonomic grips for unmatched performance in the field, at work, or on the go. All chosen with the EDC everyday carry in mind, and Alex Jones' personal signature laser etched on them. And again, built like a tank, the Alex Jones Phantom folding knife, and ready for real work. This no-nonsense folder pairs stonewash 3.6 D2 steel blade with a grippy G10 for an EDC that won't quit. Ideal for demanding tasks where the reliability is non-negotiable. Deploy it confidently, cutting, prying, and slicing without compromise, or if you're defending yourself, stabbing. It does a very good job with that as well. Compact enough to pocket carry, tough enough for the field. It just goes on from there. We have the Alex Jones ring blade, compact 2.96 dual, almost 3 inches, ring fixed blade in a 14 CD2 8N belt for retention speed with absolute control under pressure. The innovative dual retention rings and linen scales deliver positive traction and lightning fast indexing, engineering for high stakes scenarios, which every second matters, lightweight and precise for tactical or urban EDC. Then there's really, this one's got to be my favorite, the Alex Jones quick release blade. And I selected these. I said, these are the types, these are the companies I would go with. These are quality, but also at a decent price. Lightweight, lock solid EDC with smooth shaft, lock 3.4 inch D2 steel, made to slice clean and carry easy all day. One hand operation shines as its axis style lock and slim profile, offering confident grip without the bulk. Your go-to effortless deployment and all-day comfort in pocket or pack. And there's more. Get them now. Limited runs. The AlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates of high-quality products in front of the Second American Revolution worldwide. Also, 25% off store-wide on top of all the other sales. Ultramethylene Blue, still available. Ultramethylene Red, sold out.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you all joining us today on this beautiful Thursday morning. We've covered a lot of stories so far, but I wanted to focus in on the commie takeover that's taking place right now in our country. It's been going on for quite some time. Not many were aware of it. As somebody who followed New York politics and was in New York, I kind of spotted it back in 2017, 2018, when I was introduced to a group that was claiming to be a group of socialists. But I quickly realized they were communists, not socialists, and they were looking to destroy this country rather than make it a better place. But now the rest of the world is starting to catch on. They're realizing that people like Zohran Mamdani are just that, communists. And we tried our very best for months now to warn the American people what was coming their way, and how this is not just a New York-related issue. This is an issue regarding all of us. And so now, unfortunately, we are forced to sit back and watch and see how this all unravels in New York City. But it's not just New York City. They're looking to take their commie takeover everywhere. And I've told you guys before, too, it's happening in Atlanta, Georgia as well. But people like Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders, they think that this is the future of the Democratic Party. And it's not just me saying that and insinuating he thinks that this is the future of the Democratic Party. In clip 12, he literally says that Zohran Mamdani is now a leader within the political party. Take a listen.
After seeing the results of last night's election, you have said that this is not just a New York City thing, which some people have dismissed his win as. Do you think Zohran Mamdani is a leader in the Democratic Party now?
Well, of course he is. He's going to be the mayor of the city of New York.
All right. We can put that on loop. The next presidential and midterm election, of course, because If Zoe Ramadani is the face of the Democratic Party, we are all in a lot of trouble. Joining me to discuss is Trevor Ladd, and he's been blowing the whistle on all things related to commies. He is the commie hunter. He's an author, speaker, and filmmaker. His new book, God Zone Enemies, Socialists and Revolutionaries in New Zealand Parliament, is also now available on Amazon as well. Let me just tell you that. Trevor, I'm excited to have you on today. I know we had you on last time and we were trying to warn the American people about who Zoe Ramadani is. And sadly, so many people have looked the other way and are very dismissive and defensive when we call him a communist. They on CNN said that's supposed to be a trigger word, but that's exactly what he is. He is a communist. And the fact that he's trying to hide and pretend he's a progressive or use these lighter words is just a way to control the messaging. So your thoughts on, number one, Zoe Ramadani now officially being elected New York City mayor, and what does this mean for the future of major cities throughout the country?
Well, you're quite right, Brianna. This is not just a New York phenomenon. They have two members on the Atlanta City Council now, multiple members in Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, and many other cities all over the country. Plus, they have many people in state legislatures. The Speaker of the, I think the Speaker of the House in Minnesota is one of them. They are taking over the Democratic Party all over the country. And it's not just Zoe Ramadani in New York. He's got His likely deputy mayor, Brad Lander, is also a DSA member, as are several city councillors, several state senators, several legislators, and a whole bunch of municipal authorities all over the state. So from Rochester to Albany to whatever. And they're working with the Communist Party to do this. So, but the point you make is clear. Democratic Socialist America is a communist organization. It's as communist as the Revolutionary Communists of America or the Communist Party USA. It is full on 100% a communist organization.
Yeah, and so many people have been afraid to use that word. And I was excited to hear President Trump start saying that he is, in fact, a communist.
Yes.
I wish he did it sooner. Yeah, because it really would have helped, I think. I think it would have woken up a lot of people in New York City because so many people voted early. That's the first thing, too. So they missed out on President Trump calling it out. And now these politicians are starting to do the same. I wanted to play clip 13 for you. This is the very beginning of President Trump now specifically saying that Zoe Ramadani is, in fact, a communist. Take a listen.
You know, I'm so torn because I would like to see the new mayor do well because I love New York. I really love New York. When I left New York for Washington, New York was doing really well, but there were some bad signs. The bad sign was a guy named de Blasio. So the signs of de Blasio, that was the beginning, and it was bad. This one, we're going to look. For 1,000 years, communism has not worked. It just communism or the concept of communism has not worked. I tend to doubt it's going to work this time.
Did you see his victory speech?
No, it's literally never worked. Yeah, I thought it was a very angry speech, certainly angry toward me. And I think he should be very nice to me. You know, I'm the one that sort of has to approve a lot of things coming to him. So he's off to a bad start.
Trevor, I want to get your take on this because he was very angry in his speech. He started off with a very calm tone and then he quickly ramped up to a yelling tone, which is very common amongst communist leaders. They are very cruel, obviously, but most importantly, they don't shy away from it once they're elected. And he ran on the promise of free, 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 but now he's starting to back down a little bit from those standpoints now that he's officially won. What do you make so far of the transition? Oh, and by the way, we mentioned it before you came on, of course. He has an all-female transition team. What do you make of all of this?
Well, look, that wasn't a political victory speech. You know, that they always talk about unifying and coming together. Mm-hmm. This was a military victory speech. This was, we beat you, we're going to destroy you, we're going to take power, bad luck for you. That's what all my supporters are going to get their rewards now. He will have big, long lists of DSA members, radical Islamists, etc., who are now going to get city jobs, and they will be in those jobs maybe for decades. This is a very, very transitional event. Now, we've got to remember, Trump mentioned de Blasio. De Blasio was very close to DSA as well, and he did a lot of damage to New York. But the worst one was David Dinkins in the early 90s, who was the worst mayor in New York history, they say. Crime went up, everything. Well, he was also a member of Democratic Socialists of America, a card-carrying Marxist. But he was way, way more moderate than Mandami. Mandami's going to be like steroids, you know, like Dinkins on steroids.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the scary part. And I keep reminding everyone, and I've tried to reach out to Homeland Security, too, on this issue. There's so many people in the NYPD who are deeply worried about this, mainly from the angle that this was somebody who became a U.S. citizen in 2018. They were plotting, though, back in 2014 to get him to run for mayor. So obviously that's 4 years before he became a U.S. citizen. But the reason why the NYPD is so concerned right now is, well, members of the NYPD, is because he's going to have access to their counterterrorism database. And that in itself is scary enough because we don't know who he's going to pass on this information to. And that's something that someone who of his stature should not have any type of access to. I mean, he is someone who did not honestly tell when he was trying to become a U.S. citizen that he was associated with the socialist movement in this country when he begged to become a U.S. citizen. And he had these backdoor motives this whole time, in my personal opinion. And it's really unfortunate that we've gotten to this place where we have to normalize this. I want you to talk at depth a little bit more about the Democratic Socialists of America, because I saw it in New York. I saw local lawmakers, like you cited, in Albany, who were just completely radical. And even at the time, it was Andrew Cuomo. He couldn't even find middle ground with these people. They were just so far gone that he had to kind of loop them and bring them back in. But they were just waiting to take over the party. And it looks like so far they've done that officially in New York. It's not just New York, though. I have friends who are telling me that Atlanta is about to have another DSA mayoral candidate coming up real soon.
Okay.
What else is happening there?
Well, they've just elected the second. They had Gabriel Sanchez, who's a DSA member, on the Atlanta City Council. They've just elected Kelsey Bond as the second member. And, you know, they've got several people in the state legislature, and they work with the local Marxist Congress members and senators. So, yeah, this is happening all over the country. The DSA has got 90,000 members. That's about as many as the Communist Party had at its height. Plus, there's the Communist Party USA. Plus, there's the Revolutionary Communist Party. Plus, there's Freedom Road Socialist Organization and many other groups, all who got behind Mandami. They had 50,000 volunteers. That's how they win these elections. They have volunteers, phone bankers from Seattle and Tucson and Minnesota, all phoning into New York, door knockers and volunteers from all over the country. So it's a nationwide effort. But the key thing about DSA, it is an umbrella group. It is every major communist group in America is also a member, also has members in DSA. The Communist Party USA does, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization does. They all have members inside DSA. There's a lot of cross membership. They work together. Plus, DSA is deeply in bed with the Communist Party of Cuba. They're constantly sending delegations there. They're very, very close to the communist government of Venezuela and communist movements in Latin America, Africa, and Europe. And they're now building ties with the Communist Party of China. So to say they're a democratic socialist organization is just pure garbage. They are 100% communist, as the Communist Party USA or the Communist Party of Cuba or Hugo Chavez. They're even an associate member of the Sao Paulo Forum, which was set up in the early 90s by Fidel Castro and the president of Brazil. It's 200 political parties, terrorist groups, and communist groups in Latin America, the Sao Paulo Forum, and it was explicitly set up to recover for communism in Latin America what was lost in Eastern Europe. And DSA is a big part of this and is helping communists come to power in Latin American countries. So if they say they're not communists, they're just lying straight to your face.
Yeah.
You know, you ask a mafia guy, are you in the mafia? What's he going to say?
No,
I'm just in waste management. I'm just a restaurateur. No, he's never been in a restaurant in his life. He's a mafiosi. These guys are communists, straight up communists who want to destroy the government of America.
Yeah, and that's what exactly they're doing. I mean, the fact that they were able to get someone into this race who just became a U.S. citizen, I don't think most Americans understand how deep the planning goes behind this, the destruction of this country and what they are actually looking to do. I mean, I'll let you talk about that, Trevor, because that was really infuriating to me when I looked to see what his what year he became a U.S. citizen. And I was shocked, okay, because I was listening to Steven Crowder's show, Mug Club Undercover, got footage of one of his campaign directors saying that back in 2014, this was the plan all along. This didn't just randomly pop up. And so I was like, well, why didn't he become a U.S. citizen? And I was shocked to hear that it was 2018. How do we fix our immigration system when we're importing people who hate this country or looking to take us out through our own election process, like Zohran Ramadani?
Well, this is the thing. Pam Bondi should be revoking this guy's citizenship. You know, there's no question about this. Look, when I came to this country, from New Zealand, I had to declare that I'd never been involved in any communist or fascist group that sought to overthrow or undermine the US Constitution. Mm-hmm. While Zohran Mamdani joined DSA in 2017 or earlier and became a citizen in 2018, that means he neglected to answer in the affirmative. He probably said, he probably would have thought to himself, well, no, it's a democratic organization, democratic socialist organization, but it is communist. And so he basically deceived his way into citizenship. He also supported the Holy Land, Foundation Five, the Muslim Brotherhood types who were convicted of supplying money to Hamas. They went to jail for many years, and he defended these people. So there's another strike against him. Had he declared all of that on a citizenship form, I guarantee you he would not have been accepted, or he shouldn't have been accepted. Raz Meir O'Day in Chicago, a communist, was a citizen of America and was expelled because she neglected to inform immigration that she had been involved in a terrorist group in Israel back in a few years back that was involved in the bombing, supermarket bombing that killed two Israeli citizens. She got kicked out of the country for not declaring her membership and support for that organization. While Zohran Mamdani is in the same category as far as I'm concerned, he should be expelled immediately.
Yeah, he should be. And it's kind of frustrating to sit back and watch and realize that no one's willing to intervene on this. I mean, they have perfect ground to do just that. And we keep hearing, you know, we had a member of Congress come on the show and he was, you know, pleading with the Trump administration to step in on this. He's trying to get people involved. But I'm very fearful.
Yeah, and Andy Ogles, yeah.
Yep, Andy Ogles. Yep, yeah. He's trying his very best.
Andy of Tennessee, yep. Yep, and good for him. He's one of the few that's raised this issue. It should be a no-brainer for Pam Bondi. This could have been applied for several years ago. That we've always known he became a state senator. Look, they groom these people, you know. They are grooming people now to be presidents, to be senators, to be congressmen. They've got four or five Congress members now. They've got dozens of state legislators, dozens and dozens of city councillors. They basically control the LA City Council, the New York City Council, etc. So they are building communist power centers in our major cities. And that's going to have a massive impact on the economy of New York. You know, it's going to destroy the tax base. Businesses are going to leave. The only people who are going to benefit are the Florida realtors. But everybody else is going to suffer.
Yeah.
And they're going to set up a counter state in New York, a center for jihadis and communists to gather and organize against the federal government. It's going to be a revolutionary counterstate. What Zohran Mamdani just did was basically like storming the beaches of Normandy in World War II. It was establishing an enemy beachhead on American soil, just like American and Allied forces established an enemy beachhead in German-held France. This is a beachhead to spread the revolution all across America. And that will be not just peaceful either. There will be very violent elements to that.
Exactly, exactly. And he controls the NYPD now, and I'm sure he will not allow them to intervene when his group of individuals decides to start wreaking havoc and violence onto New Yorkers. We all probably know that's what's going to happen here. I wanted to switch gears up a little bit, though, before you go, Trevor, because President Trump is speaking out about the violence that's taking place against Christians in Nigeria, specifically, obviously, the Islamic terrorists who have been for many years killing and slaughtering and raping Christians in the region. And sadly, the Nigerian government hasn't done anything to stop it. But President Trump is now stepping in. And we're going to listen to clip 14, and he is intervening now. Take a listen.
Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands and thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I am hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. That's a legal definition. When the Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide. What horrible numbers. Something has to be done.
Something does have to be done, and it's been long overdue. Your reaction to President Trump intervening and getting the Nigerian government to do something about this? Because if they don't, he's threatening to put boots on the ground.
Well, look, I know a little bit about this issue because I've been following Judd Saul's work for several years. He's a gentleman from Iowa who has done tireless work working amongst Nigerian Christians and bringing their plight to the attention of US government authorities. He's done absolutely fantastic work on this. So now President Trump's getting very serious about this. The Nigerian government is getting to understand if they don't stop this, any trade deals with the US, any oil sales, whatever, are going to be in huge, huge jeopardy. I think this is a momentous occasion and a signal to the whole world, you do not slaughter your minorities. You do not attack people. You do not allow these things to go on. You've got to respect the religious liberties of your people. So full credit to Judd Saul, full credit to the President of the United States. Let's hope it doesn't get to boots on the ground, but it would be fully justified if it gets to that situation. The Nigerian leadership is smart. They're not going to let that happen. Yeah. They're going to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, yeah. And Eric Prince even saying that he doesn't think boots on the ground is going to actually happen. I don't think it'd be necessary. I think he could send the message very clearly without having to do just that and put American lives at risk. So this is exciting to
hear. Absolutely.
Yeah, he addressed it in his first term, but didn't really do anything about it. And so it's good to see now that he's readdressing this, and he seems to have a serious tone to this. And we look forward to continuing to follow it. Trevor Loudon, I want to thank you for joining us today. As always, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing and continuing to follow these commies, because it's so gut-wrenching that this is happening in our country now. But we love the fact that you are in this fight and bringing the very latest to us. So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Brianna. Thanks so much.
All right. Speaking of commies, Gavin Newsom, the commie running California, well, he's got his of political goals. He is looking to run for president. That is what's being reported, of course. And James O'Keefe is on the task. He and his undercover journalist just caught one of his very own allegedly outlining the plan as to how he's going to shift over funding when he decides to officially announce his 2028 run. Take a listen to what this individual is outlining to one of James O'Keefe's undercover journalists.
So is he going to run for governor? Newsom.
For president?
I mean, for president.
Probably. I don't know what I would vote for, but I'm skeptical of a Democrat from San Francisco running for president. He sounds very left-wing, which is why he's doing things like saying the trans girl should not be competing in sports. He's trying to appeal. Makes it look like he's not so bad.
So is he like fundraising for it and stuff like that?
He doesn't have any committees open right now, but that doesn't mean he can't open a committee later and transfer money.
Okay, so is he fundraising for anything right now?
For the ballot initiative, top 15.
Oh.
We're very intentionally gerrymandering.
So if there's any funding left over from that and he decides to run for president, he can transfer it.
Transfer to half, and then, yeah.
Oh, and is that legal? It is. Wow.
Depending how you do it.
Nothing I dislike more than the politician that sits there and lies to you.
Governor Gavin Newsom of California has been all in campaigning for Prop 50. Proposition allows redrawing of district lines in California, potentially breaking up conservative areas and merging them into larger Democrat-leading districts so GOP votes no longer win seats. Well, in the past couple of months, many were speculating if Newsom is running a shadow presidential campaign under this new Prop 50 initiative, but until now, we didn't really have any evidence Newsom appears to have some type of national political endeavor, as even CBS's Bob Costa asked him about his national campaigning in red states.
After the 2026 midterms, you're going to give it serious thought.
Yeah, I'd be lying otherwise. I'd just be lying, and I can't do that.
With Newsom aggressively touting Prop 50 right before he potentially decides to run for the 2028 Democratic nomination, our journalist met with Ross Pike, a director of the California Democratic Party. Pike oversees all of Orange County, Riverside County, and San Diego County for the Democrat Party of California.
I'm the regional director of the California Democratic Party, and I just finished serving as the acting chair for the San Diego County Democratic Party, which is the second largest Democratic Party in the state of California. So I serve in the number two position within the party. I'm the only Democrat and only LGBTQ person to hold two offices simultaneously in the county of San Diego. And then I just got reelected this last 2024.
The California Democratic Party's director immediately revealed to the undercover journalist, he did not know that he was being recorded, that Newsom is not only the primary funder of Prop 50, Newsom is acting as its chief salesman, aggressively pushing it to the voters, potentially to later funnel those funds into his 2028 presidential campaign.
Isn't that funny when they don't know that they're being recorded? They seem to be transparent, and then when they find out they're being recorded, they don't have much to say, and they play the cover-up game. Well, this is the reason why undercover journalism is so, so important, between undercover journalism and just independent journalists out there talking to sources. This is what's going to save this country. We know what they're doing. There's no secrets anymore, and we're going to let the American people know. So another incredible OMG report by James O'Keefe himself. Folks, I want to remind you all that we have the 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. In case you didn't know, I've been talking about it all week, but it's 25% off store-wide. Plus, we have those Alex Jones signature blades. Those just recently went up, and we don't know for how much longer we're going to have them, because once they sell out, they're out. And so if you're looking for a really good Christmas gift, this is what you're going to want to snag over at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's 25% off for this sale as well. I also want to remind you that we launched Methylene Red last week. That's what I've got in my cup today. Gives you lots and lots of energy. Helps clear up some of that brain fog that we all know we have, especially me. And so I am a big fan of Methylene Red. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's 25% off site-wide, right for the holidays, so it is now time to snag all these incredible offers. Do just that at thealexjonesstore.com. More happening in the next segment.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
Methylene blue?
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart it removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding, alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it, and now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's great. I love how everybody in the M4's audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? And you talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like Methyl Drive and Power Plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is I've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out thealexjonesstore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.